When I was a kid, my family frequently went to Warren Dunes State Park, which is about 40 minutes from my house on the shores of Lake Michigan. And one of the highlights of going to Warren Dunes was to climb Tower Hill. That's just getting to the peak of Tower Hill. That's one picture. There's a whole bunch of them on the internet. And that's kind of what it was for me when I was a kid. That's a lot steeper than it looks. How many of you have been to Jockey's Ridge State Park? Pretty big sand dune there. That's the largest sand dune on the East Coast. It's about 100 feet. Tower Hill was 240 feet. Just about almost 2.5 times the height of Jockey's Ridge there. And the experience was you go up, and the sand would be loose, and you'd take a couple steps forward, and then you'd slide back, and then 3 steps forward and slide back. And basically what it came down to is to climb Tower Hill, there came a point, and fairly early on the hill, where you would be on like that position, where you'd be clawing, and it was quite an experience to get to the top, because you're sliding down and clawing up. Life's like that. Very rarely are we able to just kind of make a straight line somewhere. When we're messed, it's 3 steps forward, 1 step back. The struggle can be difficult. We suffer setbacks. And when we're recovering from hurts and from hang-ups and from habits, the truth is we just don't always succeed all the time. Struggles. We might fall back into a self-defeating pattern that we thought we had licked. We might find we lost 10 pounds and gained 5 back, or 20, which really is devastating. We succeed in not smoking for a month, and we're doing good, and we're feeling great. And then in a moment of weakness, given to our cravings, and there's that cigarette again. Thought we were doing so well, but we just kind of slid back. Life's like that. It's just not easy. Proverbs 26:11 reminds us, this is not a very flattering picture of ourselves, although it's kind of a cute dog, but as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. You ever notice that if a dog pukes, it goes back and sniffs it? Dogs are strange. But that's what they do. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. You got away from something, you were finally free of it, and then. Why do we sometimes relapse? Why, after making progress 3 steps forward, do we find ourselves sliding back 1, 2, 3, or even 5 steps? Well, a common mistake is reverting to our willpower. You would think that willpower is a good thing, right? And it has its place. Galatians 3:3 reminds us, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? People have found the power of the gospel, and now they're going back to the law, going back to willpower, going back to doing it myself. We forget that we made progress in the first place in recovery from our hurts and from our hang-ups and our habits by depending upon God. You remember the first few steps that we talked about as we began to introduce Celebrate Recovery? The first one, 1, I realize I'm not God. And there's a whole lot of people that haven't made that realization yet. But I realize I'm not God. And I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is out of control. We started there, right? But if you go back to willpower, you forget where you started, right? 2, I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, that I was depending on one who was greater than me, one whose ability to carry me beyond my hurts, whatever I was struggling with. I have to put that trust in. And three, I consciously chose to commit all my life and will to Christ's control. You see, it's all about God. It's not about willpower. It's about God. It's about living in the presence of God. It's about walking with God. It's about being near to God. It's about hearing God. It's about the Spirit of God. God is in everything, and the transformation that we desire, the progress that we need, is in Him alone. So we just pedal and pedal and pedal and pedal, but we forget that the power is in the Lord. And when we revert to our willpower, we are likely to slide back. Jeremiah 17:13 says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. If you forsake the Lord, the spring of living water, there will come a time when you are thirsty. There will come a time when you don't have the life in you that you need to keep moving forward. It's not about willpower. It's about walking with God, depending upon God, letting God live in us and through us. Another common error is to ignore one or more of the steps. We are launching Celebrate Recovery. We are in the very first phase, which is this sermon series. And then coming into the fall, I don't want to start a group in the summertime. We're going to start a course called Life's Healing Choices, okay? And that course is for those who want to begin a recovery process. But it's also a training group where people who are interested in being involved in the ministry, we can come together and learn from each other about how to lead a group, okay? And then we'll move from there to another type of group, which is a getting started group, and then finally to step groups. And, you know, it's a systematic process. So recruiting will be taking place, you know, through the summer going into the Healing Choices class. But there are steps in this process so that we can have an effective ministry. And there are steps in recovery that if we skip them or we try to gloss over them and we say, well, that's not important for me, we'll find ourselves not getting the complete recovery that God wants for us. Galatians 5:7 says, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? The truth is we need God to get healing. We need God for transformation. We need to follow some very simple biblical steps that will help us to be free of those things that hold us back. And when you take shortcuts, you don't get the same result. Might get complacent. We might get lazy. Might get in a hurry. We don't stay focused on the underlying issues, and we rationalize. I'm making good progress now. I'm doing well. I don't need to make a complete moral inventory. I don't need to do that. I don't need to make amends to the people I've hurt. I'm doing pretty good. I'm not doing like I used to do, and I probably really don't need to forgive that person over there. I'm just not going to deal with that. Well, you go back, start skipping steps. Shortcuts lead to relapse. There's a process of recovery. And very few people recover from something all at once. It takes time, focus. We also relapse because we try to recover without support. I don't need to go to a group. I can do this myself. I can stand on my own. I don't need a sponsor. I don't need somebody I'm accountable to. I don't need a counselor. I've got this. I'm doing great. Yeah, maybe. But remember, Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But who falls and has no one to help him up? Bill Withers. Song artist, remember Bill Withers?
We all need somebody to lean on. Yeah.
We all need somebody to lean on. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 affirms, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If you're trying to recover from hurts, if you're trying to deal with hang-ups, if you're trying to get victory over habits, if you want to see a major life transformation, then do it with others who are there for you, who support you, who love you. Those who try to do it alone often slip up. We also relapse when we become prideful. Pride is a really, really dangerous thing. We reason, I'm doing well now. I don't need to be so disciplined. I don't need to be so dependent on God. I don't need to go to this stupid group. I got this. I'm good. Maybe. Maybe not. You know, I could be a good Christian and go, not go to church. Really? Truthfully? There's no such thing as a perfect church, but I tell you what, I haven't really ever seen anybody grow in the Lord and really become a truly God, Christ-centered person who ignores meeting together with the saints. I just haven't seen it. Your golf game may get better, but not necessarily your walk with the Lord. Because we need each other. We need the support. We need the encouragement. We need the challenges. We need to come together and worship the Lord as a group. And as soon as we think, well, I can manage this. I've got control of this. I'm doing fine. Watch out. Proverbs 16:18 clearly says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Remember Chuck Swindoll, one of the great pastors and leaders of the church. He said one time that the older he got in ministry, the more he prayed, oh God, just don't let me screw up. And that's a good attitude, because we all have the capacity to get all big inside and kind of puffed up, and the next thing you know, we have screwed up. We have failed. We've walked away from God. We've hurt somebody. We've done something we shouldn't have done. We've said something we shouldn't have said. We've lost it. 1 Corinthians 10:12 adds, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And Deuteronomy 8:11-14 addresses this whole issue of pride, because prosperity and pride go together, all right? The better we're doing, the more comfortable we are, the more prideful we can become, the more prideful we become, the more we drift away from God, and the more likely we are to, in Swindoll's words, screw up. Deuteronomy. Be careful. Careful. That you do not forget the Lord your God. Failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, and this is really wise and truthful, otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, kind of describes a lot of us in America, right? Doing all right. Even in a bad economy, we're doing all right by world standards, right? We're doing okay. We complain if we don't have cable for a day. Or worse, if we lose our cell phone, right? If you get all that happening in your life, forget God, Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We need to stay humble or we will stumble. So how do we prevent relapse? Today we look at the word R and the word recovery. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God's and His will for my life and to gain the power to follow His will. Daily time. Daily time. I guarantee you, you are not making good progress in your life if you are not spending quality time with God on a regular basis. And that means more than two Sundays a month. It means more than every Sunday. It means every day. So we maintain a daily prayer time with the Lord. Jesus followed this practice. Now, when you say the name Christian, okay, that means we want to be like Christ, right? And if we use the term Christ follower, which is becoming more popular today, I am a Christ follower, that means that we are following Jesus, right? And what was Jesus' practice? Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, if Jesus, who is the Son of God, thought it was important to put priority on prayer, how do we, who are far less holy than he, think we're going to do well without doing the same? Jesus also taught us, Mark 14:38, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And while Jesus was praying in the garden, getting ready to triumph over the powers of evil and darkness, getting ready to bring forth the kingdom of God by his death and resurrection, while Jesus prayed to prepare himself for the mocking and for the torment and for the cross, while he was praying, his disciples, those who were his followers, those who used the name of Christ, what were they doing? Sleeping. It's no small wonder that one who had betrayed him, another denied him, and all of them ran away. Prayer. Prayer. Philippians 4:6-7 teach, do not be anxious about anything. But when you come home from work, have a beer. Get a smoke, kick your shoes up, put on your favorite TV show. Oh, no, I got that wrong. Do not be anxious about anything, but smoke a little pot. It'll take the edge off. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer. It's a vital, life-changing connection with our Creator, our Savior, our Counselor, our Guide. The greatest way to maintain recovery is to stay close to God. Second, we remain attuned to your inner self and your relationship with God. Remain attuned. Keep in tune. keep in contact with yourself and God. There's a whole lot of people that are going through life, and they're not in tune with God for sure, but they're not in tune with their own selves either. They don't know what drives them. They don't know what stirs within them. They don't have insight into their own behaviors, into their own hurts, into their own losses, into their own moods, into their own relationships. They are walking around in a fog, or maybe in denial, or maybe in some kind of self-medicated state. But they are not attuned with themselves, and they are not attuned with God. Psalm 139, one of the great texts of the Bible, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offense of me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now that's a life-changing prayer. It really is. Ask yourself questions. Be in the presence of God and examine yourself with God helping you, with your spirit to help you to see what's going on in your life so that you're not prone to those things that would cause you to relapse or cause you to fall or cause you to go back into self-defeating cycles or things that brought you down in the first place as you've approached recovery. Ask yourself, how am I doing physically? Susan will ask this question. It'll be like 10 o'clock. I'll go to the cupboard. I'm just looking for something to eat. I don't know. Maybe put the spoon in the peanut butter. Something. And she'll say, are you hungry? Everybody says, I'm not hungry. Not hungry. One of the reasons why we can't lose weight is because we eat. Not because we're hungry. We eat because we self-medicate. It's a drug. So what is it that's troubling me so much that I'm willing to go find anything when I'm not hungry? You come to answer that question, and maybe you won't self-medicate at 10 o'clock at night, right? Make sense? Are you eating well? People, I'll come and visit, you know, and people love me so much. Oh, do you want a piece of my pie? Do you want one of my cookies? I say, yes, but I'm not going to have one. And for all the self-discipline I can muster, all I do is stay the same. If I actually gave in to the cookies and the donuts and all the other good stuff you guys offer me, I would be bigger than I am, and I don't want to grow that way. Am I eating well? How am I doing in my relationships? I shared this a week or two ago. But if you've got a lot of drama in your life, you got drama with your sister, you got drama with your brother, you got drama with the boss, you got drama with the people you work for, you got drama with the people you work with, you don't get along with the mailman, the problem, the common denominator is you. Don't blame it on other people. You're the drama king or the drama queen. How is it with your relationships? I mean, if you got problems in all your relationships, it's probably not the case that everybody else is more screwed up than you are. It's possible, but, you know. Search me, O God. See if there's some offensive way in me. Is there something in me that's triggering all this junk in my life? If you're perpetually the victim, somebody's already always taking advantage of you. You're always getting the low end of the stick. Well, either you know all the bullies in the world or you just haven't learned how not to be a victim. Search me, O God. Let me have insight into the things that drive me, into the things that trap me. Help me, Lord, to understand my own frame. Ask yourself, how closely am I walking with God? I came away from worship last week very unsatisfied. I just was distracted the whole morning. There was, you know, technical stuff going on. And I just had a really hard time, you know, like enjoying my worship. And I came away with Susan. I was like, I'm just out of sorts. I didn't get what I came for. Not because it wasn't there. Because I was just everywhere. Ask yourself, am I close to God right now? Am I experiencing God? Am I walking with God? Am I experiencing the blessings of being a child of God? I mean, we need to constantly be in tune with God and with ourselves so that we are aware of these things, so that we can walk in our recovery and not relapse to those things and destructive patterns in our lives. I mean, if you've gone through 3 hours and you realize you haven't had a constant experience of God God, there hasn't been a godly thought in your head for 3 hours. This side. If you hadn't had a constant a thought of God, you should be bothered by that. Because that means for 3 hours of this day, you weren't in tune with God for some reason. I never want to go 3 hours without being in tune with God. What is it that was so distracting to me? What is it that was so engulfing me? What is it that was so bothering me or whatever that I wasn't in tune with God for that 3 hours? And if you let it go days or weeks, Lord have mercy, you are going to fall. Is this making sense? What's your emotional state? You happy? Anxious? Sad? Grieving? Alienated? Lonely? Broken? Angry? Bitter? If we don't come to read our own selves and take that to the Lord, we will not find lasting recovery and life transformation with our hurts, our hang-ups, or our habits. Do I speak truth? How well are your attitudes and moods? Irritable? Angry? Demanding? Blaming? What? 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 When that's happening, we need to ask ourselves, what's happening? How can I get in tune with you, God? Search me, know me. Don't let me relax into bad patterns. Help me to walk with you. Help me to have insight. Help me to grow. Help me to mature. Help me to be transformed. How well are you maintaining motivation? Get up in the morning. Morning. My alarm clock goes off. Most days I don't need it. I always make sure I set it on Sunday because I have this bad dream of sleeping in and missing church, which maybe you can get away with that, but I can't. And so it goes off at 6:30 in the morning to make sure I have a little bit of lead time. And the alarm goes off, and the first thing I say is, This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, God, be glorified today. This is the day. I'm still not feeling it, but I'm trying to feel it, okay? And then you kind of get in the groove, you know? How well are you growing in your love for God? How well are you growing in your love for others? These are the questions that need to be in our hearts as we allow God to work within us so that we are in tune with God. We know whether there's an offensive way in us. We know whether we're kind of wandering off. We know when we're kind of getting vulnerable. Because when things are kind of amiss within, that's when we go to the ice cream box. We don't even bother with a bowl, okay? That's when we want to light up that cigarette. That's when we want to try that pill. That's when we're going to look at that porn. That's when we're going to do whatever we're trying to get away from doing. Be attuned with God yourself. Both. Allow God to speak through the Bible. We're almost done. I know we're going long. I just can't help myself. It's like a disease. Second Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Joshua 1:8 adds, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Psalms 1:1-3 affirms, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. God speaks through the pages of the Bible. If you don't open it, you're not hearing it. And if you're not hearing it, you're drifting. And if you're drifting, you are going to fall. Make sense? Fourth, keep working through the steps. Take recovery seriously. Remember what I said earlier in this series. We are all broken. There's not one of us that has yet arrived to what God wants us to be. The truth be known, there's not one of us that's close. But maybe we're a lot better than we were, or a lot better than we would have been. But we're not close yet, because when you look at the standard that was set for us, we might fall just a little short of that. So we work the steps. We take our discipleship seriously. We take freedom seriously. We take seriously. We desire to be true salt and true light and true leaven to make a true difference in this world, because we have been transformed from the inside out. We can be world transformers. But we got to work the steps. It just doesn't happen all by itself. I was had a good meeting yesterday in Philadelphia, and we ordained three persons, and we did some counseling with some pastors coming in, And I spoke very frankly, because I'm on the committee that ordains, about the lack of reading that the person that we were talking to was doing. And I said, you're just not doing enough. If you're going to lead the people of God, if you're going to walk with God, then you need to be feeding your soul big time. There are steps that we take if we want to grow. And if you want to just kind of go along and not become a better person than you were 5 years ago or what you hope to be 5 years from now, just keep doing what you're doing. You'll be fine. You will not grow. You will not have a major impact in your neighborhood. You'll not have a major impact in your family. You'll not have a major impact anyway. You will just be a person living, breathing, taking up space, but not growing and not becoming the person that God wants you to be. And if you're satisfied with that, that's what you are. But if you want to be well, if you want to be whole, if you want to be healed, if you want to be set free, if you want to be a difference maker, then you got to work the steps of growth and discipleship. It will not happen by itself. Can I say it any plainer? Message gotten? If you want to hit 300 on the baseball diamond, you're going to have to get in the bat. Had an illustration here? It's a great one. Too bad. Wonderful story. All those pages. You'll be glad I skipped it. Last slide. Maintain daily quiet time with the Lord. Remain attuned to your inner self and your relationship with God. Allow God to speak to you through the Bible. And keep working the steps of growth and recovery. May God help us to recover from our hurts, our hang-ups, and our habits. May God help us to be kingdom people who are so transformed that we can help others to do the same. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.